Hello, I'm Penina from Circle Care Services, and welcome to My BCBA Life. Circle Care Services is an ABA therapy agency, and we're all about giving BCBAs the support and community you're looking for. With this podcast, you're not on your own anymore. You're part of a BCBA community committed to making this world a better place to BCBA. Once this episode is complete, you'll be able to obtain a free CEU certificate for the clinical topic discussed. You'll need to confirm your attendance by taking note of the three surprise words I will drop throughout this episode. There is a link in the show notes below of a form that will ask you for your information and the surprise words that we need to generate your CEU certificate. Thank you, and let's get started. Welcome, Jessica Peterson, to My BCBA Life. I am super excited to have you here. I know you have your whole journey in ABA, so if you could just start by introducing yourself to our listeners.
Okay, thank you for having me. I'm pretty excited and nervous. I've never done a podcast, so this is fun. Jessica Peterson, I've been a BCBA for 5 years now. Started in the field in 2018 as an RBT. And my love for the field it grew very quickly once I became an RBT and I finally decided what I want to be when I grow up. And so it was a whirlwind from, I think a lot of us started with a psychology degree as our undergrad. And then I was like, what do I do with it from here? And I finally figured it out once I found ABA and I changed my major a couple times. And now here I am still trying to learn and grow and do all the things ABA.
Good for you. Let's just tap into that for a second, because you said like you fell into the field. I'm curious, what part of the field did you fall in love with?
Honestly, I always think about one of the very first clients I worked with as an RBT. Of course, during the assessment, no behaviors were shown. And on day one, I got smacked about 42 times. And I was excuse me. And so I was like, hold on. And so I knew this particular client was going to be a challenge. And there were many, many days as a brand new RBT, I went home in tears, feeling like I wasn't doing the job I was meant to be doing with him. And then, you know, one day it clicked and he spoke his first word and he did not hit me over what he wanted. And I was like, holy cow. Okay, this is it. This is the moment that we wait for. And I mean, it took us a good 6 or 7 months before we got there, but it was that moment that I was like, okay, this is it. This is why we do what we do. And I think that will always be the moment that sticks out for me, that the moment I fell in love with ABA, because it works.
Yes. I think that's like a common feeling of like when something works and you see you're making a difference in someone's life, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. I remember my friend's mom, she like opened up a clinic for a medical thing that like is very uncommon. And she said, when you're doing work that's helping people, there is nothing like it. It's just a dream. So that's what BCBAs do. And I would say from our conversation before this, knowing how you apply what you feel so strongly in your ABA, I think that's a big piece I want to tap into. And I think that's going to be the topic of our talk today, of maybe sharing how you brought your personal values, which makes your ABA more meaningful and stronger. And the whole, we also spoke a little bit about the burnout aspect, that BCBAs could feel burnout, and how you saw you could prevent that within yourself. So maybe just tap us into that journey a little bit.
Two of my main values that I hold very dearly are quality and grace. And it's the name of my company is Graceful Behavior Solutions, so it's built in there. The name is actually twofold. My daughter's middle name is Grace, so it kind of, I always said I would name something after her. Now I also have a son, so I got to figure that out too. But I just think we're a prior military family. My husband is retired. And we've moved around a lot, and I've been, you know, submerged in a lot of different cultures. And along the journey, working for different ABA companies and working with different families with diverse backgrounds, the one thing that I have learned is that everybody in this field, from the RBTs to the clients to the parents, we all need grace while we're walking through this journey, because it's not it's not clear cut. There's not a one size fits all solution to every family's problem. And if we're not able to operate in grace and also give ourselves grace while we're working in this field, it will lead to burnout. And I think we just won't be able to provide the quality of services if we're just pushing a clinical agenda, if that makes sense.
100%. And I think a big piece of it is that you're not doing ABA how you were taught. You're doing ABA how it means the most to you. So it's not like you're being so much of you and like the best version of yourself when you're applying ABA to these precious children who need it so badly, and you know how what's the most important to you, and you're not following the textbook, and this is like a self made way of how you apply ABA, which I think is beautiful and excellent. And I'm sure it shows in the results that you see, because when you do something so passionately with like how you really feel comfortable, there's nothing like it. And
Yeah.
I'm curious if you could talk more about, I know you talk about quality and grace, if we could go more into each of them, because although it's like personal to you, I think it's needed across the board. So if you could share your passion and expertise in each of them. My first surprise word is sour.
Okay. When it comes to quality, like I said, I've worked across, multiple different clinics and settings, and I've worked in home, I've worked for an adult crisis home, I've worked in clinics, and then, the model I have now is in clinic. The one thing that I've noticed get, I don't want to say pushed to the wayside, but almost, well, I'll just say it. A lot of times it becomes quantity over quality. And if we're just trying to push numbers, because don't get me wrong, we're a reimbursement-based business. You have to have the numbers to pay your employees. And I mean, it is a numbers game in a sense, but if that is our main focus, then we're not focusing on do we have good quality RBTs? Are we training them to meet the quality, the standard we're setting? To meet our ethical code, because I mean, we can just throw RBTs on the floor, and say good luck. But if we're not giving them the training that makes them feel comfortable and makes them feel equipped to handle some of the situations and behaviors that we see every day, they're gonna get burnout. They're not really gonna. I don't want to say they won't know what to do, but I just don't think they'll be able to be flexible enough and stay the course, but with that flexibility. And I think really pouring into your RBTs increases that quality, if that makes sense. Like, really, the continuing education, even though I know now they're going to need those CEUs in the coming year, but just because they haven't needed them before doesn't mean they don't deserve the continuing education to increase their quality, increase their drive for this field, and increase longevity. Because let's be honest, it's a revolving door for a lot of companies with RBTs. And I
Right.
think that is also where your quality starts to kind of decline. If you're constantly replacing those RBTs, you don't have time to build the quality in those people that you're looking for.
Right. So I would say like it comes down to really the staff and putting the quality in them so that they could provide quality care.
Agreed. And it takes time and it takes the passion and energy that you have when you first come into this field. We're all super passionate. I mean, we are gung-ho, right? We're gonna fix all the behaviors.
Right.
And so I think it's easy to lose sight of that if we're not constantly growing and learning ourselves. I mean, I'm actually retaking Dr. Greg Hanley's PFT SBA. Or sorry, SBT training. I've done it before, but I'm like, okay, I need to revisit this because I feel like I need to pivot, or maybe there's something new in his newest training. So I think, it might be something we learned 5 years ago, but the field is ever changing. And if we don't keep up with it, that also is where our quality declines.
My second surprise word is camera. Yes, I would say that's a key point of keeping on top of the game. You're never learning enough, and you're always, I think, like also just that mentality itself of maybe there's like, I just because I learned it once doesn't mean I'm good to go. Let me revisit. I know, like, I remembered something, maybe it became a little bit more vague, or this is something that really impacted me, and right now I feel like a boost. I need a boost. Let me tap into that one more time. And even just like having that learning mentality when you're working with the kids, even if it's not from a professional, of like, what can this child teach me? It's a whole
Yes.
different mindset shift that really it is game changing, and I think it does add to the quality because your whole focus is building up your own quality and how you take care of these children.
Right. If we stay stagnant in what we think we already know, then we can't help the next client that comes through our door that looks a little different. I mean, every behavior looks different. Sure, we can throw it under a typical function. But the topography, the true forces behind it are going to be different for every kid.
For sure. It's really funny how you could have like so many of the same behaviors for so many kids, and each of them is its like own puzzle to figure out, and where is it coming from? This reinforcement, like I remember a different BCBA who I was talking to once, she said that she once like made this like whole puzzle, like a whole reinforcement something. I forgot exactly what it was that she brought in for one of her clients, and she was so excited because it worked so well. So she went to her next client super excited, like this is it, and it failed. So like her worst failures, and it was such a moment for her, like no, it's not gonna work for everyone. And they were showing similar behaviors, and nope, it didn't work for this kid, no matter, like no ifs, ands, or buts, you know. So it's just it keeps us on our toes, you know?
It really does. It really does.
I would love to also tap into the grace aspect because quality, I think, is something like we all kind of know in our subconscious, even if it's not on the top of our heads. But grace, I feel like, is something maybe it's not all like maybe it is, but maybe it isn't to a lot of people something they're focusing on when practicing as a BCBA or RBT, whatever it is. So if you, and you're so passionate about it, like you said, you have a daughter and, named after your, obviously it's a strong value to you. So I'm curious what led you to having this strong value also, and how you implement it in ABA.
Okay. Again, like I said, I've worked in multiple different clinics, and as with any job, there's going to be the good and the bad, or the pros and the cons, whatever you want to call it. And I've seen where there were BCBAs that were just very rigid, say like with parents and parent training. It was, nope, we're following this curriculum. I hear you, but this is the lesson for today. We're in your home, your child's throwing a fit over here, but we got to stay the course. This is the lesson for the day. And it's just, to me, that is not a true picture of what these parents need. If we don't stop and hold the space for the parent that needs to cry in our office, if we don't stop and hold the space for the parent that needs a good laugh in our office, because they already hear, if you have a client that's in school, they get picked up and they get the parent report, or the smiley face with the note attached, or the frowny face with the note attached. They already know what did not go well for the day. The last thing they need is ABA also coming in as parent training, quote unquote, and saying, okay, well, we're still not making progress here, so we're going to teach you the functions of behavior so you can see them at home. That's, yes, they need to know that, but at the same time, they need to know we're on their side. We're not here just to check a box. They need to know that they can come into my office and look me in the face and say, I can't do this today. And I'll say, okay, I hear you. What can you do? Right? I mean, you have to know when to be flexible with these parents. They've already got a lot on their plate. And a lot of these parents have more than one child, sometimes more than one child on the spectrum. And if we're throwing data sheets at them and curriculum and today's lesson of the day, they're not hearing that because they're worried, is my child going to eat a French fry today, or are we going to starve ourselves because it wasn't the right French fry? And there's so many other things going on in their minds. And if we're not able to take that pause and get our own agenda out of the way and really meet these parents where they're at, then we're not doing our job. And I think that's where grace comes in. Allow them grace to say, we couldn't get our shoes on. We tantrumed in the driveway. I'm sorry we're 10 minutes late today. Got it. Not a problem. Don't get me wrong, policies are policies. And you will have parents that unfortunately look at it as kind of daycare, like I'll drop them off when I get them there. But I feel like if you build the right rapport with your families and really inform them on what parent training is for and how we can assist on those hard mornings, I'll meet you in the parking lot. I've gone down the street to a client's house because they were having a hard morning. We worked through the get ready process and the mom was able to bring her into the clinic. It's just being able to pivot and show them the same amount of grace that we would want if we were in that situation, I think is crucial to building that relationship and seeing progress with these families.
That was so well said. Thank you for sharing all that. And I think that is, yeah, it's not like it doesn't, the way you say it, it's not optional to think
Right.
with grace and treat with grace, because it's just, it's not going to work otherwise. It's not fair to these parents. And I'm curious if you could give, just because you tapped into the parent training piece, like what do you know doesn't work? And if you could go into more implementation of how am I making sure that when I speak to these parents, it's with grace, and when I work with these parents, it's with grace.
So I'll start off with what I know does not work, because I mean, I haven't always just had this epiphany of this is how we need to operate it. It took learning experiences for sure. And what I know doesn't work is throwing data sheets at parents and expecting it back in a week. And, when it's not filled out and handed right back to you, looking at them and saying, well, you didn't turn it in, so I don't know how to help you. I know that doesn't work. I know holding them to a rigid schedule of parent training times doesn't work. You have to be flexible and, oh, you missed a parent training. That's a, I don't know, demerit or whatever your policy
Right.
may state, right? I know that being super rigid and only pushing my agenda does not work. And we learn, well, and honestly, through your master's program, I can honestly say I wasn't taught a whole ton about parent training, other than it needs to happen, right? You
Right.
have to inform the parents, you got to teach them. But I will say, I had one parent when I first started as a BCBI. I was kind of letting her know how the process of ABA works. You get the direct therapy for your child, I provide parent training, this is going to be great. And she was like, I already know how to be a parent. And I was like, okay. Let me back my words up a little bit. I promise I'm not training you on how to be a parent. I'm going to help train you on ABA techniques. And so that interaction alone was a light bulb moment of we also kind of have to be graceful in the way we're speaking to parents, because ABA, we already have our own language, right? And if we're throwing all of these words at these parents and nobody's really explained the benefits and the intensity of ABA, then they're already coming in with their walls up. Like, this is a lot. I don't know what you're saying to me. And so, those learning these things through doing it, I won't say the wrong way, but doing it a way that did not work for me has really taught me that you've got to be able to pivot and really, just as much as you build rapport with your client themselves and learn them, you have to learn the parent. Some want you in their lives 100%. And some are like, give me the bare bones, I've got the rest. And you have to know who's who and how to do that with each family.
That was a lot, and I think that's that you just gave like a lot of light bulb moments to many people. Could you walk us through a parent training? Like, how do you start it with the parent to build up their trust in you that you're not someone who looks down at them because you know more than them, but giving them the credit of you are the best for your child. How do you go into a parent training with that message, like as clear as possible to parents?
So the very first parent training that I have with my parents, you've got your approval, we're ready to go. You finally get that sit down meeting with that parent. And the first thing I do is say, has anybody ever explained to you who, what everybody's role is in ABA, how ABA actually works, and has anybody ever asked you what your expectations are? And they'll answer those questions in so many words. That's kind of how the conversation starts. And 9 times out of 10, parents say, I don't have a clue what your acronym, I don't know what your credential means. I don't know what RBT stands for. I don't know what parent training is. I just know I need help.
Wow.
That 9 times out of 10 is the conversation. And
Wow.
so, I start by breaking it down and I explain to them, you have your registered behavior technician and they see your child every single day, which confuses them because then they're like, okay, well, I need to ask all the questions to the RBT. And so it's you really need to clearly define each role as well so that we don't have RBTs feeling uncomfortable worried about breaking their ethics code and but they don't want to make the parent mad or offend them or anything like that. And so I think it's crucial, you build that first, that working relationship of this is who's who and this is how we help in these roles. And then you just kind of that's where you kind of hold that space. This minute I say, what do you expect and what do you want out of this therapeutic process? And then you just hold that space. You don't interrupt them. You let them think about it. Nobody likes awkward silence, but sometimes they need that to think. And then that's, to me, that's where the rapport with the parent is built because you can hear their values come out. You can hear their concerns, what they, you have this baby. You envision this world for this child, and I tell all of my parents this, and then you get this diagnosis, and that entire world looks different now, and you're scared. And every parent that I've ever said that to goes, yeah. So now what do we do? And so, and it's from that point that I say, well, you tell me what you want to do. I can tell you all day, all the ABA terms and strategies and all of these things and what I see on paper for my assessment, but you do know your child, you know what you need in your home. And then that's where we start the conversation.
Wow. My third surprise word is number. I got a chill. I don't know why I'm saying maybe because you said it so well and like thinking about these parents, that's really what they want to hear. And especially at a place where I'll say it better, they don't want to hear anything. They just want to see their child doing better. They want to see their family dynamics be less stressful, that dinner time isn't chaotic, it's nice. And someone told them to get ABA to help them, and then they want to tell you, like, okay, like this is what I want. And they're not at a place where they could hear all the stuff. It's just, I just need help. Like, they're not. It's funny that you're like, basically, a big point is that you let them talk first, and it helps you know what you could say and what you can't say. And I'm just thinking, like, it wasn't a parent training. I was helping take calls, and like, I was busy in the office, and a parent on the phone, this is what she told me. She said, so I'm calling because I tried everything else. I don't want to do ABA because I don't want it to change my child, right? Like, they heard some things that aren't true on their Facebook group or on the internet, wherever they heard that ABA is like dog training, whatever, the old ABA, right? So that's in her head, that's ABA. I do not want to do ABA. I don't want it to take away my child's personality. I don't want it to change my child. But I tried everything else. So this is what I need to do because nothing else worked. And I was able to calm her down and say, like, I understand that's what you feel that ABA does. Let me explain to you what we try to do. It's really all about learning your child and making them a better version of themselves, not to take away their personality. We highlight that, right? And going on about that, but if her BCBA, it was such a short conversation. I'm sure it helped a little bit, but for sure not enough. I never met her again. But if her BCBA, when she sat down for the parent training, goes in and thinking, okay, this mom signed up, she must want it, and she goes on and on, and the mother's just like has these like hazard lights blinking, like, I can't listen, I don't want to, I don't want to. And the BCBA doesn't know that, and she's going on and on, she's not going to get anywhere. So, what you're saying and bringing out the parents, like, tell me more about you and what you picture and what you envision. Right away, the mom would say, well, I don't want it to change my child. And you will say, well, I love your child too. I don't either want to do that, right? And that is the parents, like, all of a sudden, like, okay, yeah, you're her friend now, and she could take your help. So I think really pivoting from me giving the parent training to letting it be guided by the parent is probably like of the most important things.
Yeah, I agree. 'Cause we see a small snippet of these children's day. Granted, you have some that are in clinic all day long, but like, we're not their primary caregiver. We don't see them in their work. Well, I mean, I guess we probably do see their worst moments at times in the clinic, but you know, what about Christmas break when the clinic's closed? Like, that's 24 hours. And I think not taking a step back to remember that the parents are there in the thick of it, in the trenches with these kids day in and day out, while we get to go home and turn it off at the end of the day. That it I think it's crucial that we remember that. I think it's crucial that we remember they are humans too. They're not just a billable unit. It's not a
When
box.
you, yes, when you go with that approach with like letting the parent talk first and how you run your parent training, have you ever come across a parent who was still very hard to get through to? Or,
Oh
yeah,
yeah.
that's fine. Yeah.
I mean, there's still gonna be parents that you'll have some that you know, you schedule an hour and you're really like, I mean, you're practically standing on your head to get to the end of the hour because they're not talkative people or they're busy, right? Like they have a
Right.
full-time job and they've carved out this hour, but their email is going off like crazy and you know, so I mean, you do have some parents that I won't say that they're less involved. I think their capacity for it is very limited, due to life, right? I mean, we all have a certain amount of capacity within our brains and bodies to do so much stuff in a day. And I think sometimes where, you know, we might see it as a box to check, they might too. Like, oh, my insurance requires this. I'll go sit through this meeting. I'll hear what they have to say. I'll do my best. Box checked off for the month or the biweekly meeting or whatever it is set up. And again, I think that meeting them where they're at, hey, tell me your concerns. Do you have anything new popping up? Did you see any milestones at home this week? Because it doesn't always have to be like, tell me the bad stuff going on at home.
Right.
Like, were they able to tie their shoe this week? Because I know we've really been working on that. It can be quick. It can be checking in. How are we doing with this skill? Or you know, it can be quick. You don't have to torture these parents with the full hour if they don't want the full hour, you know.
Right.
It
That
can
is
be
so
four
true.
check-ins a month, 15 minutes for, you know, how we doing, you know. Again, I think it's knowing that parent. And if I sit here and try to talk at a parent for an hour who really does not have the capacity for me, because I can talk a lot, so I get it. But it's really, as much as we analyze behavior, we better analyze body language, because it speaks volumes with these parents in these meetings sometimes. You
Yes,
gotta know when to be quiet. Yeah.
it's so, oh my gosh, it's so funny because I just had a moment. It wasn't with a parent. I was training someone in my office and I had an appointment, so I need to sleep early and I just need to get that training in. And I saw she was visibly uncomfortable. She just got there. She was still getting used to her desk. And at a certain point, I'm like, I better stop talking. Like, you're not okay. And she's like, I don't even know where the water is. I'm still getting used to my computer. And I'm like, okay, we will stop right now. Like, this is going nowhere. Like, get comfortable. Let's do this tomorrow. And You know, like it's just so funny because, like, yes, like when it's a checkbox, like I just need to get this done. I gotta go. Let's just do this. And I have to do it again. It's not worth it. It's just, it's
He's
such
not
a
retaining
moot
anything, and
point.
you're probably like, did I even cover that topic? Because you're both just like in different headspaces.
Exactly. Like, no, she visibly looked uncomfortable. I felt so bad. I'm like, I don't know how I just plowed through this with you looking like that. I'm so sorry. But it's not just, it's that is such a like meeting them where they're at. Some people are just not able to give you that hour. And I think that's such a good point because if they don't want to give it to you and their head is elsewhere, don't waste your breath and don't let them walk away feeling like she was a waste of time. It's
Right.
not worth it. And I think you said like breaking it up into 15 minutes, that's such a good idea. Like a very good idea if it's too much for an hour. And some parents want 2 hours, you know?
Oh
It's
yeah.
you really have,
I
it looks
have
like
one
sometimes
family,
don't
I've
know.
had them probably a little over 2 years now. And me and the parent, we have a great rapport, but I know to book an hour and a half to 2 hours for parent training because we're going to cover everything from
Wow.
their Christmas plans coming up to the behavior that happened this morning to, I mean, you name it, we're covering it. But, she's comfortable enough to have these conversations with me. And it always comes full circle of, we might be talking about Christmas plans, and then she's going to be like, okay, but remember, I told you we're going to Aunt Susie's for Christmas. How do you think little Susie Wolf for namesake is going to react to these new people? And so it always ties back into the parent concern of how do I get my child through this event or whatever. So
Right.
you definitely have those. I got a 15-minute check-in and I've got a 2-hour time block. And you just, I think asking questions, holding space for those parents and letting them come to you and tell you what they need is really how you learn to work individually with those families.
That's well said. Thank you for that. And I just want to, because you talk so much about family, I know. There's the child-centered care, and you are definitely more family-centered care. So just to give a little bit of your thoughts on that sense, and I know I feel like we covered a lot of it just by talking about how the parents play such a key role, but I still think it's such a good thing to reiterate why it's so important to bring the family into the picture.
Well, I always tell families, it is my job to work myself out of a job. I don't want them to need me forever. And so getting their input, getting their wants and their, what they need out of this, it helps navigate where we're going in the future. Of course, you never guarantee a timeline. Oh, in 6 months I'll be out of your hair, right? Because every child is different. But it is my job to teach them enough skills and techniques and just the good stuff, right? That they can do at home and with their child without us. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, no matter how much somebody likes me or doesn't like me or whatever, we're intrusive, right? We are in your face. We are a big part of your life because ABA is very intensive. And I mean, even my best friend of all time, I love her. I don't want her at my house every day, right? Like, I still need to live my life. And
Yes.
I think that's kind of ABA. We're the bestie that you don't want over every day, but we appreciate
True.
who you are.
That's excellent. It really is. Like I remember, like yeah, when you have someone in your house, even if it's someone who's helping you, it's not the same of when your shades are closed and you're in your own space and you're not thinking twice about what comes out of your mouth. And it's important to have that time as well. And we also say that as well. Our success story is when you tell us, like I, or when we tell you, like you don't need me anymore. You don't, and that
Now
is
there are
the
some parents who are like, well, yes, I do. And I'm like, I promise you don't. Look at all this data, like you can do it.
right.
But metaphorically speaking, we're not in your house anymore. You don't have to drop off, pick up, come to parent trainings. We're just so much a part of these families' lives. And it's, I've had clients that have graduated, so to speak, and it's sad, but it's so bittersweet. It's sad because I'm gonna miss them. But it is one of the greatest accomplishments when you can say, you're ready. You can do this. And, you know, I actually ran into a former client at an event downtown a couple weekends ago, and it was so good to see her. She was happy. She was able to engage in conversation and tell me all about the book series she's reading and all of this stuff. And I was like, this is why we did it. Now she can approach. She can have these conversations in a social setting. And, you know, again, I was sad that I wouldn't see her anymore and whatnot, but it was really cool to see that it's maintaining and she's growing and she's able to be who she is.
Yes, and that's really where we want everyone to be. And I think I'm going to wrap up now because I think everyone has enough food for thought. And this was like just a different mindset to have, but also such practical ways to bring it out with every interaction we have with our clients and families. Is there any one thing that you want to leave off our listeners with that you think is most important?
I just think it's super important to evaluate your values and really root yourself in those. Don't let, you know, the billable unit and the hustle and bustle of what we do every day take over. Really think about what is important to you and ask your families what's important to them.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Jessica. What a pleasure to have you here. It's so appreciated for your time. I know you're busy. And thinking of the way you treat those moms, I'm sure they try to get every minute they could with you. So thank you. And I am excited to hear what this episode does for our listeners. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun. I enjoyed it.